So, we're continuing our sermon series in Romans chapter 1 is the chapter we're in right now. Today we'll be looking at verses 18 through 32, so if you want to turn in your Bible on your Bible app, or it'll be on the screen behind me when we get to that reading. So there are the classic, I forgot my homework excuses, like the dog ate my homework, or I left it at home on my desk, even though I may not have actually done it. Somebody stole my backpack. Have y'all ever heard this one? The furnace went out at home, so we had to burn everything so we wouldn't freeze to death, and that included my homework. No? Maybe not. Right. We are without excuse when it comes to the knowledge of God. We can't make excuses because He's evident to us in different ways. Because we are without excuse, there are also consequences when we refuse to acknowledge Him. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, God is revealed to us in nature. You know, you can look out the front doors of our church and you can see that there was something majestic, something powerful, something awe-striking that created our existence, right? There is a complication about just our human nature, about our bodies and the universe. It's so complex. It interests me that people can look out at the complexity of all that has been created and say, it was just a happy accident, right? And I believe as people do that, they're suppressing the truth that there is a Creator that created the intricacies of every little aspect of nature. So, in verse 20, it says, "For His inevitable attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made." So, I believe there's two types of revelation, and this is consistent in Christian thought. There's general revelation, which is revelation that is made known to everybody, and then there's special revelation. What I'm talking about here, the evidence of God in nature, is general revelation. Everybody should know that there is a powerful, awesome God just based on what you can learn, what you can glean from His creation. Right? God revealed Himself to everyone through His creation. And that second part of verse 20 says, so they are without excuse. There is one truth. There is one God. Nothing outside of that truth has the ability to save. And so, if you recognize through creation that there is a God, there is a Creator that is powerful and amazing, then you are without excuse if you do not honor Him through thanksgiving and through your life. And so, Paul is talking about people that have been given over to certain things. You know, we have awe and wonder, but we don't necessarily try to seek out the source of that. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And see, some people have looked at creation, they've seen the evidence that there is a God, and then they suppressed that truth to build idols for themselves. And those idols are things that have been created. They've given up creating, it's worshiping the Creator for worshiping what He created. So birds and animals and creeping things. Even in Paul's time, instead of allowing the wonder of what they could observe in nature to point them to a greater truth that they should seek after, instead they suppress that in order to go after the things that they want to, the desires of their flesh. And this is sin. This is idolatry. So instead of worshiping God, we worship man, we worship our own flesh, we worship the things that we desire, and we give up on worshiping the one that created Him. We suppress the truth. And when this happens, we are deserving of God's wrath. In verse 24 it says, therefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring of the body among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This idolatry, this sin, it leads to death. This is a hard message to preach. You don't want to tell people that because of your sin, you deserve the wrath of God. Yet, that's what Scripture teaches us. Right? When you swap worshiping God for worshiping what you want to worship, you're condemning yourself. And then he gives examples of depravity. In verse 26, it says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So, I want to go back to earlier. It said that, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. And then it talks about these relationships between women and women and men, you know. What I would say about the relationship between men and women is that this is an obvious deviation from the way that God created us. Right? You know, Paul would teach this in his time, that relations, sexual relations, in order for it to be in God's will, is to be within a marriage between a man and a woman. Right? That's what the Jewish people in that time believed. That's what Paul taught. That's what God teaches in His Scripture. And so what some people would do with this passage is that they would single out a certain sin and say that this sin is worse than the others. So it talked about sexual impurity and dishonoring of the body before it started talking about this. And so what I want to say is that all sexual sin is a sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And we have to come to that reality that sin separates us from the loving God that we know from Scriptures. Okay? So, I don't want to bash. I don't want people to hear that I am judging anyone else for their sexual sin without first reflecting on mine. God in His Scripture lays out a plan for how we are called to live as followers of Christ. Right? But sexual sin is swapping God's plan for us for the desires of our heart and desires of our flesh. For single people out there, what you need to hear is that relationships outside of marriage that move into that realm of sexual sin is wrong. For married men and women, fidelity in marriage is important. And going outside of fidelity in marriage is a sin. It is a sin. So adultery is a sin. And Jesus expands on what our thoughts might actually be for adultery and says that adultery isn't just the act of stepping outside of your marriage and having a relationship with someone else. If you lust after somebody in your heart, if you look on them with lust, you are committing adultery against your spouse. So guys, I'm speaking specifically to you. There may be women that do struggle with this as well, but I know guys do in a very heavy way. Pornography can tear apart your marriage just as much as a relationship outside of your marriage. It can. Because it is dishonoring to your spouse, and most of all, it is dishonoring to God that you would lust after someone other than the person that God put in your life to be your partner, the one that's called to love you. So, hear this. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So what I will say is, yes, homosexuality is, as we know in Scripture, is a sin. Therefore, it leads to the wrath of God, but it is no more egregious or less egregious than any other sexual sin. All sexual sin is deviating from the plan of God. And deviation from the plan of God, which is sin, leads to death. Even if the person didn't fall into the category of sexual sin, Paul says, "I'm not done yet here. Let's keep going." Okay? If you think that I'm just focusing in on this set of sins, I want you to hear that no. It goes further than that. Idolatry goes beyond the flesh. Just the visible, the lusts of our hearts. It goes on to other things. In verses 28 through 32, and it says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them." There is no one sin that is more deserving of God's wrath than any other. This is important to note. Paul is saying that sin is sin. He's saying there's no difference between what you might think is a little sin and what you might think is a massive sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have been condemned because all have sinned against Him. Which means all are deserving of God's wrath. All are deserving of death. But that's where we get to special revelation. Right? So general revelation is a revelation that is made apparent to all people. So anybody can be aware of who God is just by looking at His creation and the complexity of it. But there is special revelation, which is our Scriptures. It's God's Word for us. And that special revelation teaches us that there is a God that loves us so much that in the beginning He set out to redeem us from all the things that we do that go against His plan for us. So everything that we have done can be forgiven because God kept His promise to send a Messiah. And that Messiah was Jesus Christ. And we all know what He did for us. This is the truth. This is the way to salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding His blood, so that if it was applied to all those who have faith in Him, they are seen as holy and righteous in the sight of God. Their sins are forgiven. All those things are washed over by the blood of Christ. And that's an amazing story that's worth sharing. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God made a promise to all those that know Him, that place their faith in Him, that He will save them from those things that they have done against Him. The pursuit of truth and salvation is enabled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth. Right? Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're doomed. We're doomed. God reveals His truth to us. We are enlightened to the love that He has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where salvation comes. What does this mean for us? Idolatry takes many, many forms. It does. Many things that aren't necessarily evil in and of themselves can become idols if we allow them to. John Calvin says that the heart is an idol factory. There is this hole in our hearts, right, that we are constantly looking to fill with something. Right? There really is only one thing that you can fill that hole with and be whole. Right? But we try to fill that hole with other things, created things, not God. So you'll see people struggling with alcoholism, with drug use. You know, maybe we spend way too much time fixing our cars or worrying about how things are going to happen in this life. But also, you know, maybe your love for a sports team interferes with your relationship with God. Anything that monopolizes your thoughts above God is something that you need to recognize as an idol. Anything that you give more time to, give more resources to, anything that takes up your life and consumes it more than God, you're in danger of making an idol out of. One of the reasons that we do that, and one of the reasons that we suppress the truth about God, is because we don't want God intervening in the things that we want. How sad is that? The God that created us, we don't want him to inconvenience our lifestyle. Is God an inconvenience? No. If you think of Him as one, think about the idol that's causing you to do that. Guys, I'm not standing here innocent of any of this. I'm not. And so, that's where we have to go. knowing that the world sins just as much as we do, knowing that we sin just as much as the world does, is it our job to judge? No. No, it's not. God calls us to live a certain way, and we're supposed to remind ourselves by reading His Scripture and applying it to our lives. But we'll look in the next chapter, in chapter 2, and we'll see we are not called to judge other people for their sin. That's God's job. That's not ours. Our job is to know who God is, know how He's called us to live, and live that out in our lives. Because guess what? Without Him, we are condemned. That's a hard thing to teach. You know, this was a tough sermon to prepare for. Because, like I said, nobody wants to hear that the things that I have done have injured my relationship with God and led me down a path that I don't want to go, which is directly to death. We suppress the truth for convenience, because we chase our idols. We assign value to sins. We think that some sins are worse than others. Right? In doing this, we do become judgmental. And we say, well, you know, my sins are so little compared to yours. You're way worse than I am. So thank goodness I'm not like them. Right? When we do that, we're forgetting that we are saved by Christ. Not by the severity or the lack of severity of our sin. And when we do that, we make a joke of what God has done for us. We make a joke of what Christ has done for us. You know, if our sins are small enough that it doesn't matter, Christ didn't need to go to the cross. What an insult that is to Him to say, you know what, my sin isn't that bad. We have to acknowledge that we are counted among the depraved and not judge. But we get to celebrate that God chose to save us from our depravity. And then we can reach out with the truth, not the story of come be like us because we've got it all together. But I am totally messed up. I am the chief of sinners. Don't come be like me. But come to know the God who loves me and forgives me for all those things. Don't suppress the truth. Don't turn your back on the knowledge that He exists. Seek Him. Read His special revelation. Understand His Scripture so you can know His whole nature. He loves you. He's calling you out of your sinful nature to live in His truth. And there's a blessing in that. He shows you your worth in the fact that you are completely undeserving of His love, but He gave it to you anyway. In the fact that He would not spare His own Son to bring you back from the penalty of sin, which is death. And He provides eternal life. That's the even more amazing part of this. Is that through your faith, you are adopted as sons and daughters of God, and you will live with Him for eternity. What a blessing. A sinner like me is loved in a way that I can't even begin to explain. Amen. Let's pray. God, in a culture that would excuse sins. God, in a culture that would interpret Scripture through the lens of its own shortcomings. Some things in Scripture are an inconvenient truth. But God, You have called us to actually look at our culture through the lens of Scripture and to teach the fullness of Your gospel, which is that all people are sinners. All people have turned their back on You at some point in their lives. And all people need to find salvation. And the glorious truth of your scripture is that you have provided that for us and for all who would come to know you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So today, Lord, we pray that you would convict us of our sins, that you would help us to seek repentance and to live for you, and then point the world to the Savior that saves, not to a perfect lifestyle, not to some crazy ideal that we've created in our lives that we are better than other people because we don't sin as bad. God, change that narrative in us. Help us to rest fully in the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and the work that He's done for us. And help us to take a message of love and compassion out to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful and matchless name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.